Hanging from the lampposts along Main Street in Albion are holiday-themed banners, some bearing the name Charles W. Howard. Less than a block south of the Erie Canal, there's a mural and sign also paying tribute to this native son.
The Albion people are very proud of the association with Charles Howard, and he is indeed celebrated here.
That's Catherine Cooper, Orleans County historian, who maintains vintage photos and documents, including an autobiographical essay by Howard. Born in 1896, Howard was already skilled at building wooden toys by the age of seven. Years later, interested in working as Santa Claus, he took a job at a local furniture company, where he dressed the part and built toys in its storefront window while viewed by the public. He later secured a Santa job at McCurdy's department store in Rochester. Cooper explains it was there that Howard saw a lot about the other Santas that he didn't like.
He felt that some of the Santa Clauses he encountered were not professional. For example, a Santa Claus who would go off on his break and have a cigarette and then come back reeking of cigarettes, or whose beards didn't fit correctly, or who didn't have the right spirit. That dismayed him.
So in 1937, he opened the Charles W. Howard Santa School in his Albion home. Over time, department stores near and far learned of it and enrolled their employees for training. Mary Ida Doan's late husband, Nathan, was a student there in the 1950s. She says besides teaching that Santa Claus and the Christmas spirit were about love and giving, Howard taught other important lessons.
He always said, never promise a child a thing. That was probably one of the first lessons. Even if the parents were behind you shaking their head, yes, that Susie was going to get this doll, never promised, because when Mom and Dad went to the store to get it, it may not be there, and then Santa would be in trouble.
Howard became a highly reputed Santa Claus. From 1948 to 1965, he was Santa Claus in New York City's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. He also served as a consultant for the original version of the film Miracle on 34th Street. In 1956, Howard opened Christmas Park on his property. His granddaughter, Jane Holland, recalls in its prime, the park attracted up to 80,000 visitors per year from numerous states.
I have often felt, and our family has felt, that he was right up there with Walt Disney as far as his imagination, and before animation or any of those kind of things, he built a toy shop in as part of the park. And it had all kinds of moving mechanical parts. And as a child, it was fascinating to just be able to sit there with your imagination and watch all of these different things move.
The park closed in 1965, and Howard passed away 1 year later. Even after his death, Howard's reputation and passion for Santa Claus gained new followers. Ken McPherson has become a renowned Santa Claus in his own right and owns many of the artifacts from Christmas Park. He says Howard's contribution to the community went far beyond Santa Claus.
I mean, he's done a lot even prior to anything to do with Santa Claus. The Medina Toy Company, Howard's Ice Cream, big in his community, big in his church, taught Sunday school, sang in the choirs, helped with the school with plays. He could sing like nobody's business. And then he got into the Santa Clausing and really, literally wrote the book, shall I say. I mean, he literally wrote a manual of the do's and don'ts of Santa Clausing.
Jane Holland notes that while her grandfather was an authority on how to be Santa Claus, he did not lose sight of the personality's origin, the Christian figure Saint Nicholas, who is celebrated for his kindness and generosity to children. When he wasn't playing Santa Claus, Howard's work included reading to children at Sunday church services.
We would always go to the church, and they had the children's little segment of the service, and we went up and would sit right down, and Grandpa oftentimes, of course, out of costume, just as Charles Howard, would read a story. And that was a very important part of his day, was to make sure that every Sunday he did go and attend church and wanted to portray Santa as a child of God, and the fact that he was doing God's work to portray and spread that spirit of giving and love.
Ken McPherson backs that up, recalling Howard's own account of a visit to a Rochester home.
And when he left, he was walking down the hallway to make his exit out of the back of the house, and he heard this music. And he thought that it was a radio or something that was given as a gift, and it was just left on in another room. Well, he stopped it because he heard the music was getting closer, and he looked through this doorway, and there was a little girl staring at the Christmas tree singing, "Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you." And, and I'm sitting there thinking, and Charlie says, even that little girl didn't forget what Christmas really is. Even with all the going on and the wrappings going all over and the packages flying and kids loving and laughing and joking and playing, that little girl didn't forget what that was all about.
Upon Howard's death, the Doanes took over the Santa School and moved it to Bay City, Michigan. Mary Ida Doan speaks of how important it was to preserve the standards expected by Howard.
It was a privilege to play Santa. It was not a job. And the children would look up to you. That you're a pretty important person in their life. And this is what Charles wanted. You know, Santa was not a clown. Santa was taught kindness and love. And I think this is what, you know, this is what we tried to portray the whole time that we were teaching.
The Doanes sold the school in the mid-1980s to current owners Tom and Holly Valente, who now operate the school in Midland, Michigan, where they carry on a legacy first created in Western New York. Michael Mrosiak, WBFO News.